Starwalker Studios presents The Obsidian Monolith, creating an original campaign for Numenera.
Numenarian, and welcome to Session 1, Part 3 of the Obsidian Monolith Actual Play Podcast. I'm your host, Lex Starwalker. I've explained how I've created the adventure. Now we can see how it survives or doesn't survive first contact with the players. So grab your dice and get ready to spend some effort. It's time to play Numenera. Hello, listener. Welcome back. This is the third part of the session. This is the final part of the first session. And in this episode, the PCs recover from their encounter with the uber deadly slicer beetles and begin exploring the windmill. Once again, our cast of characters is Brian Kearns as Callow, a graceful jack who talks to machines, Craig Edwards as Zane, a strong-willed glaive who focuses mind over matter, Jeremy Land as Ferris, a cruel nano who needs no weapon, and John Wright as Tienma, a clumsy jack who commands mental powers. And of course, this adventure is written and GM'd by yours truly, Lex Starwalker. So without further ado, let's get into the adventure.
So now that you guys kind of look around inside, you see that the interior, there's a large central vertical shaft that you can't see very far up it, but it goes farther than you can see. And this lower level is just one huge chamber. And there's one panel across from the door that is lit that Callow activated. But other than that, and the light coming in through the open doorway, there doesn't seem to be any light in here. And it is also very, very hot and stuffy inside. In fact, you guys are probably already covered in sweat, even after being in here just a few minutes.
Well, there you go. Tiamat's doing much better now that he doesn't have that heavy armor to have to wear.
Oh, Cynthia, or whatever I called her.
Well, I'll go for a wander over that pool that I activated, Lex, and try to see whether or not I can decipher anything on it that's useful for us. Maybe temperature control.
Okay. Go ahead and give me a roll. That would be an intellect-based roll.
Okay, intellect-based roll, and I brained.
It will be difficulty 5 to start to figure it out.
Okay. Trained in tasks involving electrical machines.
Okay. That would apply.
Yep. Yeah, I guess that's down to a difficulty 4 and some effort. So my pool will drop to difficulty 3. So I'm going to spend an XP and I'm going to roll that again.
Okay.
And that is a roll of a 14. So well and truly.
Okay. As I said before, when you activated it, there are these three-dimensional fractal shapes kind of going across the screen. And as you kind of put your hands to it to try to manipulate the interface, these little kind of arcs of electricity come from it and to your fingertips. And it's a little unpleasant or even painful. And you can't actually touch the screen. When you try to touch it, there's almost like a magnetic repulsive force that keeps you from actually touching it. But this electricity arcing from your fingers to the screen seems to do things to the shapes and make them change and stuff like that. Okay. And with that roll, you aren't able to quite figure it out, but I will say that the next time you try, it will be one step easier.
Okay. However, then I will...
I was just going to say, as you're trying to use this thing, the electricity is kind of like going through your nervous system, and one intellect damage to you.
One intellect damage, okay, no problems. Does anybody else want to do something, or do you want to try to see whether or not I can get something useful out of this panel?
I can give it a shot.
I'm sure. Going to look around and see if there's any way of barricading the door or something like that.
Okay, so Craig, you're going to look for something to barricade the door, and Ferris, you're going to try to use this panel?
Yeah.
Okay, so Ferris, go ahead and make a roll to use the panel.
Okay.
I am in this and tell him what I've learned.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I am trained in Numenera, if that applies.
Yes.
And that is a 7.
Okay. It's very tricky.
In that case, I will pull out my Numenera book and start flipping through that, and using it as an asset takes 30 minutes.
Okay. And you did take 1 intellect damage as well from the machine.
Okay. Does the nano ward ability affect that at all?
It enhances it.
Damage reduction.
You know, normally I don't think it would against intellect damage, but I think in this case it actually would, since it's like electricity coming at you.
Okay.
So yeah, it actually absorbs it.
Cool.
Cool.
I'd like to reach out with my mind and see if I can connect with anything within the structure.
Okay. Go ahead and make a roll for that, John.
I'd like to use effort for it.
Okay.
As well, to extend the range. Cool. I got a 16.
Nice. Okay. Yeah. You do not sense any minds within the area that you can sense. Other than, you know, the people around you that you already knew about.
Cool.
So looking around, do I see any heavy yet movable objects that I could use to block a door?
This guy.
the entire first level is pretty much empty. There's definitely things outside that you could use. And maybe elsewhere in this structure you might find some things. But on this level, there's not anything.
I'll lean on something. Does something break and fall?
No. Actually, I didn't describe. So the interior of the structure, everything is constructed of these very advanced-looking metals and synth and ceramics. Mm-hmm. And everything is very shiny and metallic-looking. Very, what's the word? Mechanical looking, I guess.
I'd like to use my reality spike to close the door so that it blocks it and can't be moved.
So how? What are you doing exactly? Like, how are you?
So, well, it stays in midair and can't be moved, can't be dislodged by anything. So, if I use it to place it in the air, blocking the door, then the door shouldn't realistically be able to move until I deactivate it. So, if it's a spike, it would kind of block the door like one of those drop. Thing.
Well, the door is stuck open, though.
Ah, okay. Ah, so we actually need to close the door before we can even block it.
Yeah.
Okay, I'd like to... Is there a way to move things? Move objects? Like, can we lift them, do some heavy lifting?
You could... It's surrounded by earth. You could dig it, like, dig it out and close it, maybe?
That's I have something in my pack or something.
Yeah, do I have a shovel?
I'd be surprised if the Explorer's Pack doesn't have a shovel. You would think it would have a shovel.
It has spikes, hammers, sturdy boots, torches. Nope. No shovel.
I've got a watering can.
Anyways, I will... Zane, we'll start digging off the earth and clearing
I'll
some
help
space.
Too.
The nano reads a book, the glaive digs.
Okay, so you guys are just digging with your hands, basically, or
I use my dagger to kind of break up the soil, and then
not your watering can.
Water. Yeah, it's a great idea. Soften the soil.
Well, you guys could probably use those spikes for like digging sticks or be
yeah,
better.
Yeah.
Well, now we have to move mud.
They got a bucket. I've got breaking things, so I think I'm pretty good at breaking up rocks and dirt.
Okay. Okay, so Ferris spends half an hour reading, and you guys spend half an hour digging.
We're epic heroes.
Yeah. tell you what, for those of you digging, just for fun, how about a might check just to see how much earth you move, just for fun?
I rolled a 4.
I rolled a 7.
You guys are awesome.
You can't even dig good.
Well, in your defense...
I'm actually filling in your hole, so as you dig it out, I'm actually filling it up.
The dirt is very, very packed. It's very clay-like, and it's been here a long time, so it's not easy to dig through. After half an hour, you guys have made a pretty sad amount of progress. lack of progress. You think at this rate, in a couple days, you might get this digged out enough that you can drag the doors closed, assuming they'll even close.
All right.
They look pretty high-tech.
Well, after half an hour worth of very diligent but ultimately fruitless digging, I want to see if I'm gonna call the machine guy Callow over and see if we can think of some way of rigging a trap that would make clattering type noises. I don't know how to do that, but maybe you would.
Okay, so you're just after a device that will let us detect what's in the area?
Well, or if something tries to come through the door, since we can't close the door, just so that we know if something's going to come and attack us from behind.
Okay, from my belt, I produce a Newman, a cipher. This cipher is, if I can bring it up, oh, my cipher page is gone. Is a three-part alarm that I actually have. So this three-part alarm is a handheld device. When I activate it, three sensor pieces detach from the main device. I can place them anywhere within half a mile of the main device. For 28 hours, if anything larger than a small dog moves within an immediate distance of one of these sensors, the main device will indicate this and tell me where the sensor was activated. So I will... activate it, Lex. So okay. I've got three sensor pieces, and where do you guys want me to set these up? I explain how the cipher works, and
the door seems like a good option.
Okay, so why don't I set one at the door, and maybe I might go outside, Lex, and set up a couple of sensors kind of like at intervals outside as well.
Cool.
Perfect.
Awesome.
That was a significantly better. I was kind of picturing a tin can on the top of the door type thing.
So. All right. So, Ferris, you can have another go at the control panel.
Okay.
Boned up a little bit.
Yep.
Your control panels.
Is there someone who can assist, maybe?
Yeah.
Oh, the diff with an assist.
So that'll give me a +1 since I'm already trained anyway.
Yeah. Everybody puts their 2 cents in.
Except me.
And
the third one from the left's the best one.
I like mashed the keys.
I will be spending an XP to re-roll that.
Uh-oh. Couldn't have been good.
14 with an asset and training. Actually, 15 with an asset and training.
Yeah,
so
nice.
Diff 7.
Awesome. So that's actually quite a bit more than what you need. So not only do you figure the thing out, but you can also do something. What would you like to do?
I suppose making the temperature bearable would be one thing that might be helpful.
Okay. So you find a basically a ventilation and climate control system, and it seems to be functional, it's just turned off, and you turn it on, and you guys hear the sounds of motors like high above you, and you start to feel very very nice feeling cool air start blowing across you. Got the AC going.
Is there a diagnostics kind of thing?
There may be.
I'm going to give Ferris a hearty slap in the back as a congratulations for doing a good job.
Yeah, way to move that dirt, Zane. Proud of you too.
Thank you. If I only had 3 more days, I could totally close that door.
All right. Well, now that you guys have been in here for a good half hour or so, how about everybody make a D100 roll for me, just for fun?
17.
Okay.
15.
7.
27. We rolled so bad.
Okay. Let's see. I'll start with Jeremy. What did you roll, Jeremy?
15.
15. Ferris, I guess you wouldn't really know this, but the rest of you notice you're not sure when this happened, but Ferris's hair is now purple.
Makes sense.
Is it a good look?
I don't know.
Does it look good on him?
What's your eye color? You don't want your hair clashing with your eyes.
Probably blue.
Oh, that's not bad.
Matches the color of his resonance field.
There you go.
So, Zane, what did you roll?
I rolled a 15. No, 17, sorry.
17. Oh, well, this is boring. Your hair is now red.
Oh.
And not like a normal red, like... like red, red. Like fire engine red.
That's awesome. It was gray before. So, I feel like I probably just got 10 years back.
All right, Callow, what'd you roll again?
7.
7. Your skin has turned yellow.
Oh, no, I definitely need some sunlight.
It's all that stew you've been eating.
And Tiamma, yeah, did you think you
had a liver failure?
What'd you roll, John?
I rolled a 27.
Oh, 27.
You explode.
Oh, this... Okay, this is weird. Your skin is now leathery.
Yes! Cynthia's back. Guys, I feel a little weird. Like a gimp suit, you know? Yep. Oh, that's better. Do I get any bonuses, or is it just completely cosmetic?
No, it's just cosmetic.
It looks amazing.
They're actually literally cosmetic mutations, the technical for these things.
I'm starting to wonder if you were having us roll on the Rod of Wonder table.
Butterflies fly out of your butt.
That's why they call butterflies.
So you guys are really styling now, but at least it's cooling off in here.
I am totally pro-mutation. This worked out well.
And where is the nearest Angula Knight stronghold?
Yeah, right?
Shh. All right, well, is there a ladder or a ramp or a staircase or something?
Yes, there are some stairs going up.
Are they welcoming and friendly stairs?
They're metal. All
right.
And shiny.
I like shiny. Shiny's good enough.
Are they the kind of stairs that when you step on them, you'll collapse, or they'll collapse and send you sliding into a spike pit thing against the wall?
That's a good question.
They look very sturdy.
I'll test them out.
I don't know if I mentioned, but the doors that you guys came through were 20 feet high. And the stairs are, like, the steps are pretty, like, they seem to be designed for something that was much taller than a human. Like, you actually kind of have to climb up the stairs instead of just walk up the stairs.
Okay.
Like, maybe something 10 to 20 feet tall. Like, that's what they were designed for.
Okay, good. Go to it, well, Tiamma.
I'll do it. I run.
All right, you guys start climbing up. I mean, you don't have to make any rolls or anything. It's not, like, difficult. But
then someone invested in climb, didn't they?
I was going to say.
Yes.
What a waste of a skill if you can't roll it.
I climb it with a flourish. I make it very entertaining.
Do pirouette after every step.
I use my quarter staff to vault up each one.
Okay, so you guys start exploring this place, and there's this central shaft that seems to go up and up and up, and then stairs going from level to level. And oh, and once you guys leave the first floor, it's getting dark because the only light is coming in through the front door. Does anybody have any light?
I have a glow globe that I'd be more than willing to use in this particular circumstance. It is a minor glow globe.
Okay.
I light up my skin.
I touch it.
Some mood lighting.
I'll use my hex magic to create a ball of energy to light the way.
All right.
I'm just happy with all this illumination. I'm not going to add to it.
I have a question. Does my skin squeak like leather, like new leather, when I walk?
Yes, it does.
Thank you.
Was that the answer you were hoping for?
That was, yes.
So you guys start exploring for an hour or so, and you just these corridors and chambers just go on and on and on. There's this big central shaft. As far as you can tell so far, it goes all the way up, and all of these chambers and halls and whatnot branching off of it. And you find an oddity, actually. And it is, I guess actually it's three oddities, three silken gloves with six fingers each. Just what you always wanted.
Where does the sixth one go?
You have to get creative.
All right.
Can I try one on?
Sure. It actually fits nice? Pretty well, except for the one finger. Yeah, it's pretty snazzy.
So I look a little bit like Michael Jackson?
Yeah. A little bit. Doesn't have any sequins, but...
I'll use hedge magic to make it glimmer. There you go.
Perfect.
All right. So you guys keep exploring. So I'm just curious, how are you guys going about this, exploring this place? Are you like looking in every nook and cranny, or just trying to intuitively find, I don't know, something important, or what's your strategy?
Checking for secret doors and traps, I think, aren't we? Oh, wait, sorry, wrong game.
Oh. Well, my focus is going to be on finding something to make the humming stop. So if I see a room that, you know, doesn't have any big obvious machinery or something to it, I will probably skip over it.
Okay.
I'm looking for anything that would attack me or the party. So any rooms that don't have a particularly large monster in the middle of it, I'm probably going to skip over it.
Okay.
No 12-foot beetle? Next.
Okay.
I'm just stumbling around. So just, yeah, chatting to people. I'm not really paying attention too much.
Okay. Fair enough.
For the rooms that we go by, Lex, if there is anything that kind of, like, I'm just going to try to be a little bit more extra perceptive, like, just in case that the cause of the tower making these hummings, maybe something isn't powered, maybe something isn't on, maybe something needs to be activated or something like that. So, I'm looking for something that is obviously, I really can't say that because I don't really know the whole schematics of this tower, but I'm just basically, if I go into a room and I see something that looks like it can be activated or powered on, I'll have a little bit of investigate, but I surely won't activate it without consulting anybody first.
Okay, so you're not just turning everything on left and right?
No, not so well. Like, if I'm yellow now and everyone's hair is changing color and we've got a guy in a gimp suit, I don't really want to.
Are there buttons? Are there, like, buttons everywhere?
No buttons, sorry.
Damn. I don't really want to exacerbated our current situation.
I'm looking for opportunities to exacerbate, so if there are any, just let me know. Feel free to use my dumb luck thing. I'm happy for that to happen.
If there is anything that might be remotely critical, Tianema will break it.
Yep. That's a standard action. Yeah.
That much is a given. Mm-hmm. All right, so for that first hour or so of exploration, I've got one of those guys at coming at you. A group intrusion.
Hit me.
So everybody.
Yay.
Jeremy wants it.
Zane will take it.
I guess I should have held up four, right? Four.
Yeah.
I don't have any XP not to, so.
Oh, okay.
I learned Kalova, so that was all my XP.
Brian, John?
I'm accepting.
Okay, so everybody gets an XP, and now the bad news.
Oh.
As you guys walk through a particular room, the humming sound suddenly gets louder. And remember how I told you how everything was shiny and metal in here? Electricity starts arcing between the walls all around you. So everybody make a speed defense roll to not get electrocuted. Difficulty 4.
I'm going to expend a level of effort.
Okay.
And that'll give me... Does my shield work as a asset?
Yes. I'm not sure why, but it does.
I survived.
Must be ceramic, not metal.
I'm not exactly I rolled a 2.
Oh, no.
It's not a 1.
Nope. Sure
all right. Lex, I have speed defense, and I'm expending a level of effort, so my speed pool is down to 11 out of 14, and I've rolled an 8, so that beats a target of 2.
You beat a difficulty of 2?
No. I mean that I've reduced the difficulty to a 2, and with my roll of 8, I've beaten.
Yes. Okay, so you're good.
Sorry. Yep.
I rolled a 9, and I have an inability for coordinated tasks, so I believe that means I definitely failed on a 9.
You somehow trip and fall into the electricity. All right, so...
He probably turned it on.
Is my gimp suit leather or plastic or rubber?
Ferris and Fienma, you take 6 ambient damage.
Ow!
Electricity. And now you get to make a might defense roll, difficulty 4.
Sweet. I rolled an 11.
Uh-oh.
I rolled a 12.
Oh, so you made it, right?
He did, yes.
Yeah.
I did.
Well, you sounded all sad, like you didn't make it.
I was secretly hoping.
So Tiamma, you're zapped, but you're like, ah, you get out of it. Ferris, you're actually, the electricity kind of paralyzes you.
Oh, good.
You lose your next action.
Excellent.
So,
for the record, I am at 3 might and 0 speed.
Oh, no. For the three of you that have actions the next turn, you can just make a short move and get out of the range of the electricity, and you don't have to roll anything. However, if someone wants to try to drag the immobilized Ferris out of the electricity, you will have to make some rolls to do that.
Zane will help.
Did we take speed damage for that first roll, or was it might damage?
No, it was might damage.
Oh, cool. Check.
Yeah, sorry.
All right, so...
It was just ambient. It's not absorbed by armor.
So Zane will rush over to the paralyzed Ferris and grab him by, grab him from, like, by his shoulders or whatever and start trying to yank him out as quickly as possible from the bad, shocky room.
Okay, so that will be a 3 might task, difficulty 3.
Difficulty 3 might task, okay. So, yeah, we'll just, we'll expend some effort on that. That'll drop me down to 10, And I roll a perfect 20, so I get my heavy back.
Nice. Any idea for a major effect?
Well, I'd like to be able to get him clear out of the room without him taking any more damage.
Okay.
Handy.
Cool.
Ow.
Well, less ow.
It's called karma for getting me things out. It's payback.
I think I need to sit down for like 11 hours.
You can do that.
I know a room that'll stop anybody from entering it. If as a group we decide that we need to take a chill break for the next 11 hours and hunker down, I'd be okay with that. So, Lex, is there any rooms around here that have, like, one door that could close?
Yeah, sure.
Cool.
Actually, most of them don't actually have doors. They're just doorways. You can find one that just has one doorway, so...
But no doors.
No, you. Other than the front door, you haven't seen any actual doors yet. It's all just doorways.
Okay. So Zane will look at Ferris, and you look like you need a little bit of a nap there.
I would be okay with that.
Can anyone else smell burning meat?
That's great. I'll try to help Ferris over to the safe room, or the safer room, and yeah.
Okay.
So we're resting?
Yes.
Yep. For 11 hours? Exactly 11 hours? Excellent. I'll set my watch.
Well, for those of you that maybe don't need to rest for 11 hours and might be bored, there is a strange, if inactive, machine in this room that you guys have chosen. You might be able to scavenge some fun things out of it.
Can we turn it on? Is there a red button?
No, there's no red button.
Lex is just go fun.
The red buttons come later.
Okay. yeah. When given instructions like that from the GM, always take advantage. So Zane's going to start scavenging. He's not particularly good at it, but...
Okay. It's just a difficulty 3 roll. It will take an hour to do.
Well...
I think I'm going to rest, so...
Yeah. Okay.
I'll rest for that hour, too.
Oh, yeah. So that's a 10.
Woo! I got 2 back for my 1 hour.
So go to the next beta reroll.
5 days later.
No, that's okay.
Can I help him rest?
Smack him around a bit.
Get better!
Well, no, I don't know, like, sing a lullaby or something.
If someone wanted to try a heal check untrained or something, we could do that.
Yeah. That's probably more helpful than sing a lullaby check.
Yeah, so I actually know how that works, since I have a character that does that all the time. You pick how many points you want to heal, and that's your difficulty of your role.
I'll do it, because if it goes wrong, it'll be fun.
We got a bleeder!
You're just like, no, don't let him come near me. No, no, no.
Clear!
How many points would you like taking off? Well, up. Sorry.
I am trained in anatomy, so I will walk you through every single step.
That works.
Awesome. I'm kind of picturing somebody like you're lying there and he's doing like a appendectomy or whatever and you have a mirror. No, not there.
Okay, John, so he will reduce you one step, his training.
I will spend some effort as well to help out. So does that automatically take it down by like 4 or?
Yeah, so that'll be a total of 2 steps down.
Okay, cool. All right, I'm going to roll.
How many points are you trying to heal?
Oh, okay, I should probably not roll then. How many points are you wanting to heal before I roll?
Well, I was going to say aim for a diff 3, so it would be 5 points.
Do you want me to re-roll, or is that our roll?
No, go ahead and re-roll, because you hadn't decided what you were rolling for yet.
So 3, how many points?
It's 5 points, so a difficulty 3.
So you have a 50-50 chance.
Boom, 12.
Sweet. Oh, you did it. Nice. Well done.
Awesome.
Like a Swedish masseuse, that's what I did. I just snapped it.
So you just got healed by a plant guy in a gimp suit. How do you feel?
Somehow violated.
Bitter but ashamed.
If I ever release this, I'm going to have to put some kind of a warning on it. All right. If you're offended by interspecies, this might not be for you. Spiders and plants, people.
It's going to have one of the more unique warnings that a YouTube video has ever had.
So, Craig, were you scavenging then?
Yes, I was scavenging.
Okay. Did you make a roll yet?
I did. I made a 10.
Okay, you made it. So, oh, now I get a roll.
What?
You find some stuff.
I call shenanigans. DMs never roll the Numenera.
I mean, I guess I could let you roll, but... Oh, maybe I should let you roll. I didn't roll very well. I'll spend a GM XP and re-roll that. All right. So you find 14 shins. You find 3 ciphers and an oddity. So the oddity, I'll just tell you, it is 5 metallic plates that orbit around your head and display ever-changing unknown symbols.
That's not at all distracting.
No, not at all.
I'll claim it if no one wants it.
Oh, it works. I'm a telekinetic, right? So stuff floating around me makes sense. I hear I have some ciphers coming my way.
Yes, 3 ciphers, but you have to identify them.
Oh, right. Okay.
I am trained, and I have a book.
Oh.
But you're napping.
True.
Did you take your 10-hour break?
That is presumably currently ongoing. Well, you would have actually looted this thing in my first hour break, yeah. So the 10-hour hasn't started yet.
Okay.
So you could...
Well, I'm going to spend 10 hours trying to decipher what these things are.
Okay, well, it's not a super hard roll. So,
okay.
Let me see.
Well...
2 of them are a difficulty 1, and 1 is a difficulty 2.
All right, well, I rolled a 10, a 3, and... 20.
Okay. Whoa! Well, you Whoa. Did all of them. Look at you.
Huh. Take that.
Wow, what could be a major effect for identifying a cipher?
We don't get electrocuted.
I tell you what,
Craig, on the other side of the screen.
I just went to a dark place. I'm sorry.
Craig, next time you try to identify a Numenera in this complex, you get an asset. How about that?
That works.
It'll be one step easier next thing you try to identify.
Cool. That makes sense.
Okay, so here's what you found. The first one is a detonator. Massive corrosive. Level 4. Oh, and you know what? I have these typed so I can paste them into the thing.
Sweet.
And so this explodes in a short-range radius, inflicting 4 corrosive damage. It's a wristband projector with a range of 200 feet.
I had 2 grenades. Time to start bombing stuff. Hey, clumsy guy, you want a bomb?
Let's juggle.
I'll wait till you have like 5 of them and then juggle them. Wow. Okay, the second one is called Eye in the Sky. It's a level 2 handheld device. When activated, part of this device shoots 800 feet into the air, projecting everything it sees onto a screen on the other portion of the device. The eye in the sky floats for an hour, all the while projecting what it sees.
So not one to use indoors.
Yes, do not play with this in the house. And the third one is a Bounder Teleporter, level 6. It is a metal mesh belt with the control pad buckle. The user teleports up to 600 feet to a location he can see. He arrives safely with his possessions, but cannot take anything else with him.
That puts me significantly over my limit, so anybody want to take some of these off my hands?
I have room for one.
Yep, same.
Same here.
Well, that works.
Do you want to swap any out before offering?
Yeah, why don't I do this? Does anybody want a numbing ray emitter?
That sure, sounds like my kind of thing. Go for it. Yeah,
you can have it. You can have it if you want it. I just kind of jumped in because nobody else did.
I think Tianma needs more than the aim. That sounds like a great, great thing.
Cool. Okay, I'll go there if no one else wants it. It's okay.
All right. So I'm going to keep the two detonators, but if somebody wants an eye in the sky and someone wants a teleporter, just
I just thought of a great GM intrusion.
Well, which one do you want, Jeremy? Do you want the teleporter or the eye in the sky? Which one would you prefer?
I'll take the teleporter.
Sure, no problems. If eye in the sky, I really like the idea of it, sure.
There you go. And now I'm just aglaive with bombs.
So yeah, I thought of a great GM intrusion for John.
Go!
I accept.
Okay, so you're playing with your new numbing ray emitter. And it goes off in your pants.
Ooh. Excellent.
Should hang on to that one until we get back to town.
That's so great.
I was thinking you could roll like a 1d5 and to see which limb goes numb.
can it be like two of the numbers is for a certain appendage?
Sure. Roll a d6. Yeah.
I'll roll a d6.
There you go.
I rolled a 4. What does that mean?
I think that would be one of... Well, I guess where are we starting? What's number one?
How about I'll roll again, but 1, 2, left leg 3, right leg 4, and 5 and 6 are something else.
Okay. Okay.
All right. Oh. So 2, it's my right hand.
Okay.
I should give my experience point away too, shouldn't I?
Yeah.
I might I'll give it to Jeremy for the amazing talk in the bar moment, which I really liked.
Nice.
Excellent.
Oh, good GMing, good playing. Yeah, cool. So hey guys.
Is
anyone else experiencing a problem?
I think it fits your clumsiness that you put it in your pants pocket and somehow shot yourself in the arm.
Guys, I think I'm having a stroke.
Don't worry, we can do heel checks. You'll be fine.
Excellent. This is going to be interesting later on.
How long is it numb for?
How many levels is it? It's level 5, so a long time. It's for 1 minute, but I think as a GM intrusion it should be longer.
Yeah.
Like yeah. 5 hours?
Five days?
We'll just say for now it's numb indefinitely.
Yeah. That's cool.
Cause you don't know when it's not gonna be numb anymore.
Yeah.
Could be 5 minutes, could be 5 days.
Could be permanent.
Could be permanent.
You walked in here a perfectly normal symbiotic plant man. Now you're now you're numb and leathery.
So just so the way if the ladies like even if we got John, I've got artifact that it's a ring that reduces your touch, so you can have both arms being utterly numb.
That sounds like a challenge. Player intrusion.
I do like the idea of player intrusions. Yeah. I like to know that, that played out in your game, John.
Yeah.
It worked well.
I'm absolutely open to it, so.
All right.
Maybe when I'm done resting, I can do some pressure point work on your guy and see how much more damage I can do.
Thank you.
That plant might be finding a new home sooner than he thought.
Yeah, Ferris, I wouldn't fall asleep if I were you.
Ooh, I like that idea that you're when you do a 10-hour break, you don't rest, you don't like just heal, you go find a new host.
The brain slug.
Have we rested and numbed ourselves to a proper level?
Yes, if no one has anything else they want to do, we can say that you guys sleep through the night or 10 hours. It's probably not night, it's the middle of the day, but...
Are recovery rolls per level? Like, per adventure? Or does it reset?
As soon as you sleep your 10 hours, it resets.
Oh, cool. So I might...
Basically,
if we're sleeping, I'll make a new roll then. Yeah. Fantastic.
Yeah.
I rolled a 1.
So after our 10-hour, I am at 7 of 12 might, full speed, and 11 of 15 intellect.
Oh, that's not terrible.
It could be worse.
I'm pretty much full.
I just hit full.
My arm fell asleep while I was lying down, so
yeah,
I'm not sure what's happening.
Don't worry, that's perfectly normal. The confusing thing is that you're going to try to use the numbing emitter and it's not going to work later on.
I'm just going to have to find a suitably epic moment to fail.
Yes.
Well, yeah, that was a cipher, right? So that mm-hmm. That was its use, unfortunately.
That's great.
Don't worry, you'll find more. They might not be numb emitters, but maybe you'll shoot yourself with something even cooler.
He's hoping.
Well, you can rest assured that it won't be a singularity detonation.
You can't promise that.
Let's keep on moseying ahead for 12 minutes and see what we get into.
All right, so you guys continue exploring. After a while, you find the remains of some mysterious creature. It looks burned and kind of melted. You can't even tell what it was. It's pretty gross.
Does it smell worse than the stew?
Oh, much worse. It smells awful. Actually, you don't think it's been dead like super long because it does smell pretty rank.
Does anybody have a trained in identifying?
I have botany and animal husbandry. Do either of those work? A wilderness farm?
No, I don't think so.
I'm just trained in perception, so if there's anything that I guess if I'm concentrating on it.
What, Jeremy?
I have Numenera and anatomy.
I've got jumping.
I think that perception might apply. The anatomy would, except it's so far gone that there's not really anatomy left.
I'm also trained in deception, intimidation, and persuasion with those experiencing physical or emotional pain.
It might be past that, I think.
Well, I might make a roll, Lex, and see what I can kind of figure out from this desiccated, crispy corpse. Difficulty 2.
Yeah, I don't think you really see much beyond the obvious.
Yeah.
You'd think it was perhaps some kind of mammal. Maybe. But you're not even sure about that. It's pretty far gone. It's like a pile of organic matter, basically, at this point. There's
Does
no
it look
bones
like
a, or...
Is there any signs around of what could have done this to it? I could perception roll that.
Yeah, make a perception roll. That's a good idea.
I roll a 9.
No, no signs of what could have done it.
Don't worry, guys. It's perfectly safe.
I walk forward.
Wait. I think I failed a spot check.
Yeah, right.
Well, if nobody else has, I'm going to. Zane's going to be a little bit more defensive. He's going to take his shield out and sort of have it at the ready.
Can okay. I toss something through the air? Is there any like little loose objects around the place that we can just throw across the room?
Yeah, sure. Probably some little bits of metal pieces from something.
Yeah. Does any laser beams come out and kill everyone?
No, nothing good. Happened.
Good.
I'm going to. So this is like in a room or down a hallway or something?
Yeah, it's in the middle of a room.
So is there any like what's the is room one door in, one door out on the other side, I assume?
Actually, there are three doors. You came in from one, and then there are two others.
Okay. Anybody feel like they have any particular preference for door?
Do any of them smell slightly better?
This whole room smells pretty bad.
So there's two doors?
Yes. Well, there's three total, but one of them's the one you just came through.
That would be the safest one.
Yes.
We all vote for that door.
Unfortunately, game theory kind of breaks down when there's only two doors.
No, there's no objections, so I'm going to take one of my spinning flippy discs that's rotating around my head, pull it out, and flip it and see if I can flip a coin.
Okay.
Yeah. It doesn't do much because it goes back into orbit, I assume, as soon as I throw it up. But yeah. I decide that means it's right door.
Okay.
Sounds good. I'm going to trigger my resonance field.
All right, so you guys continue exploring through the right door.
Okay. I think we should split the party. Let's go two on each.
That'll work well. It's much wisdom.
All right, so you guys explore for some time more, probably another hour, and you come into a very large chamber with a very tall ceiling. Actually, how you guys are using glow globes, or?
Yep.
Yes.
I'm using hedge magic.
Okay, so they just barely reach the ceiling of this chamber. It's about 50 feet up, and there are conduits and girders and pipes everywhere. Actually, this whole place is kind of like that. Wires and all kinds of crazy stuff. And everyone, or, well, you don't all have to, but if you want to, you can make a perception roll.
Yes.
7.
8.
I rolled a 1.
I
love this character.
What'd you roll, Craig?
I rolled a 10.
10. Okay, Tianma is looking in the exact opposite direction of where he should be looking. But Zane, you see movement in the shadows coming towards you. Four large spiders.
Oh.
That seem to be made completely of metal.
Oh, son of a hooker.
I'm going to try to talk to them in Kulboa.
Tianma, for your GM intrusion, for your one,
yes.
You actually managed to blunder into one of their webs, which is not a good thing. They have these webs made of steel that are razor sharp and almost impossible to see. You take 4 damage as it cuts into you.
Excellent. Is there only one limb free and it's my one that's numb?
Ooh, you take 4 damage but don't notice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really.
This hand thing seems to be bleeding.
Hey guys, I think I'm numb all over now. I can't move.
So, do you guys want to roll initiative?
Sure.
Or you want to just let the spiders go first?
I think I'll let the spiders go first.
As entertaining as that would be, I think I will roll initiative.
I get a 3 for my initiative.
Did anybody beat a 9?
Should I roll?
16.
No, you can just not roll.
Yeah, I figured that was probably a good idea. Face the opposite direction.
Craig, you rolled a 16? Is that what you said? Okay, so you guys go first. So you have four of these spiders coming at you. Yeah, they're at short range.
All right, well, Jeremy, you're first.
I have this frigid wall projector that I have just been dying to use.
Nice.
Cool.
And if I can set that up so that the wall is between us and them,
okay,
I will do that.
Yes, they're actually coming from the same direction, so they would either have to go through it or around it. How big is it? Maybe they can't go around it.
Big-ish? Let me double check. I know you said that the room is tall.
Yeah, we'll say it's at like a 50-foot cube, the room.
All right, so that's going to wrap up the third part of the first session and going to wrap up the first session itself of the Obsidian Monolith actual play. Thank you so much for tuning in. And again, this first session will be available on my YouTube channel if you would like to see the video. However, again, that is a completely unedited version, including like a 5 or 10 minute break in the middle, where for a while you get to look at some empty chairs and then you get to hear us talk about completely random, non-relevant things. But it's there if you like that kind of thing. You can always fast forward through the break. Again, you know, this, what you just listened to is edited. I cut out side conversations and things like that. And the video on YouTube is completely unedited. It's there though, if you want to look at it. However, the following few sessions will not be on YouTube. We started not recording it with Hangouts on Air, and we started recording our own audio. So the upside of that is you should see a massive increase in sound quality from here on out. However, the downside is there isn't video for the next few sessions. Now, beginning with, I think, the 8th session, session 8, we did start recording on Google Hangouts on Air again as a backup, because we had a situation where one of the guys' computer crashed, and so there is an episode where there is no Craig, even though Craig was there, and I still have yet to figure out what I'm going to do with that, but I will get the episode to you. It might just be a little weird, but this is Numenera, right? We can handle weird. So from session 8 onward, those will be available on YouTube as well. So unfortunately, if you want to watch the whole thing unedited on YouTube, there is a gap between sessions 2 and 7 that you won't be able to see on YouTube. But from there on out, you should be able to see it on YouTube. If you would like to reach me, you can email me at lexstarwalker@gmail.com. You can follow me on Twitter at lexstarwalker. You can call the voicemail 626-LEX-GMI-1. Please visit my website, starwalkerstudios.com/GM intrusions. Lots of helpful stuff there, including links to the Facebook group, the forum, and the Google Plus community page. You can also find a link to our Patreon page if you'd like to learn how you can support the show by becoming a patron. And another great way to support the show is to try out Audible Books. You can get a free trial courtesy of GM Intrusions at audibletrial.com/GM intrusions. I always recommend The Shadow of the Torturer by Gene Wolfe. It's the first part of the Book of the New Sun and is a great read. Once again, I am Lex Starwalker. I thank you very much for listening, and this has been a GM Intrusion.
This has been a Starwalker Studios production, your source for quality science, science fiction, and fantasy podcasts.
This episode's music provided by Ish, Cloudwalker, Renfield, and Transvoy. Please see the show notes for more details at starwalkerstudios.com.
I'm awesome!